to the microphone and making his or her presence known. And despite fundraising fatigue, I know I'm talking to some listeners who have not pledged and have said they're going to get around to it. And, you know, the Rangers game was on, the World Cup was on, some sport event was on. You have some excuse. This is a real good time to pledge, especially if you're a regular listener to Scott's show. Obviously, a donation to PKN floats our whole boat, but it's not a bad time to call. If you particularly like a show, this is a good time to actually call. So hopefully Scott's listeners will do the right thing. Step up to the phone, 203-384-9756. We have all those premium items that we've been talking about, and those enable pretty much a painless pledge, which means you can get these things at a discount for less, you know, one of these great summer festivals we've been talking about, the Green River Festival, the Festival of Arts and Ideas in New Haven. And a couple of those shows are coming up, like the Regina Carter show we were just mentioning, and the Vibes at the Seaside Park, just a little ways from us. So you can get those tickets at less than you would pay for them otherwise, and you will support WPKN in the process. So this is a real good time to give us a call and do that. Mark is talking to one loyal listener who stepped up. We need to hear from you, 203-384-9756.
And we have just one more rundown of these premium and thank you guests we're offering before we get to our next interview. But they include, as Jim just said, below retail price tickets to the Clearwater Festival, the Green River Festival in Massachusetts, the Festival of Arts and Ideas in New Haven, the Vibe Festivals here in Bridgeport, the Falcon Ridge Festival up in on the corner of Connecticut, New York, and Massachusetts, I believe, in that part of the state. And some great artists playing all those festivals. And the key thing is you can help PKN out at the same time you get below retail price tickets. It's a great deal for everyone. 203-384-9756. And in honor of all the years that Jim has put in here at this station.
Probably a few more years than you, Scott.
A few more years,
but not a lot more.
Collectively, a lot of years. And stalwart here, providing incredible quality information and music, jazz, all range of things that Jim has put on over the years, including his discussions about the environment and car technology. Great stuff. And I'm so happy I got involved in a lot of ways.
Who was president when you started as a programmer at PKN? Because I think I go back to the Nixon era.
I go back to Grover Cleveland.
Grover.
203-384.
He was presidential timber in those days, huh?
In the ground, I think. But I've got to run to do our next interview with Jim Dean, so I'm going to play a little music. But please call us at 203-384-9756.
Jim. Is this guy known as Jimmy Dean?
No.
He's the guy that did Big John or the sausage guy?
Different guy. This is Howard Dean's brother.
Not the sausage guy.
Not the sausage guy. All right. Well, let's take a musical break here.
Smash that! reason not to walk alone. I was waiting for the good Samaritan. But waiting was hopeless, sweet as all in vain. The Ku Klux Klan, I said, but a holler and a ball. Now let me go now. To let me go was not their intention, no.
Music from Steel Pulse, a song called Ku Klux Klan. Following our discussion of extreme right-wing groups, armed militias, and the like across the country with Rachel Tabachnik of Political Research Associates. And right now we're going to move on to our next discussion. And I'm very happy to welcome to our program Jim Dean, chairperson of the group Democracy for America. And we've invited Jim to talk about the surprising defeat of Eric Cantor, the House Majority Leader for the Republicans, who lost to a Tea Party activist, David Brat, in his Virginia district last Tuesday. And Jim, thank you so much for making time to come on the program tonight.
Scott, appreciate your having me on. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, for our listeners who may not have the full picture of your group, I know most of our listeners have heard of it, but Democracy for America, tell us a little bit about its origins through your brother Howard Dean, who ran for president a bunch of years ago, and where the organization is at now.
Okay, yeah, Howard started Democracy for America after his campaign ended back in 2004, and he wanted to really support candidates running anywhere around the country at all levels of office, and he then went on to become chair of the Democratic National Committee, but we pressed on, and we are now with a membership of about 1.2 million people. And our job is really to help with training and staff help, help our members do what they want to do, can do, to change their communities. And a lot of that work is electoral, supporting candidates, but a lot of it is also working on issues such as minimum wage bills that are going on in one place or another in about 30 states, or this year particularly, other issues related to economic inequality. But really what we are is a staff of network administrators trying to help a lot of really good people working hard to change their communities.
Well, Jim, as I said a moment ago, we invite you to get a little bit of comment and analysis of what happened to House Majority Leader Eric Cantor last week when he was defeated by a Tea Party activist, David Brat, in his Virginia district. It was kind of a minor earthquake in Washington, D.C., and a lot of people are reading the tea leaves, so to speak. And I wonder if we get your take, your overview of you know, what is the significance of Eric Cantor's loss in this primary?
Well, I think there's several factors in it, and it's very difficult for me to weigh one over the other. But the first that comes to mind is that Eric Cantor was really a visitor to his district, somebody who actually really spent much more time in Washington than he spent in his district serving his constituents. And I think a lot of folks were upset about it. He had become very distant. As one columnist said, he had been spending more time campaigning to be Speaker of the House than he was for running for re-election. And I think that distance affected the vote, much the way that distance affected the vote against Joe Lieberman in Ned Mott's primary victory over him back in 2006. So that was one thing. The second thing is I think there's a general dissatisfaction of the electorate overall with Republicans because they simply have refused to govern since Barack Obama became president. I mean, they've basically been the party of no. They really haven't offered any solutions to anything. And these primaries often turn into sort of a contest to see who can outright wing the other. Certainly David Brat was all of that. But I'm not even so sure that the issues, particularly immigration and some of the other things that David Brat talked about, how significant they were. Simply because I think of the dissatisfaction and the distance that they had between the incumbent was really the part that voters were really addressing when they went to the polls. These are low turnout elections, and that can get people who are upset out to the polls, and they can win under those circumstances. But the good news is that it's an open seat now, really, for all intents and purposes. There is a Democrat in the race. That's important because over 65 seats in the House are actually uncontested. this year, so at least we have a nominee. We don't know very much about him, but we'll see. It may mean a little bit of a change in the congressional makeup, and that's an opportunity for a lot of people.
Jim, what do you make of the analysis that says this particular contest is really it's really a harbinger of things to come for the Republican Party as the GOP moves ever further to the right and out of step with the rest of the country, where a majority of the people in the nation really disagree with the Republicans on a whole slew of issues? Is this, you think, does this portend a future where the Republican Party is ever more marginalized from the mainstream of American voters?
Oh, I would certainly agree with that. Certainly the platform of issues that Brett purports to support really put him out of the mainstream, even within his own district, which is an R plus 10, meaning a heavily Republican district. The whole sort of conservative takeover back, you know, or meme that's been going on within the party really has brought it to the brink of irrelevancy with respect to the rank-and-file voters around the country. I mean, and that's, you don't have to take my word for it. It's not so much as in this district as in a lot of other places. I mean, even in Kansas right now, there's a very competitive race for governor between a Democrat and a Republican right now. There's a very competitive race for governor in Georgia between a Democrat and Republican. And I think these are very conservative states where the Republicans have just simply gone too far. And not only far in their extremism, but also in not offering any meaningful and realistic solutions to the problems that we all have.
Your brother, Howard Dean, recently wrote an article for Politico, former governor of Vermont, Howard Dean, former presidential candidate, former DNC chairman. Jim, he wrote that one of the lessons we can learn here is that through this insurgent candidacy of David Bratt, that big money doesn't always win elections. And, you know, we've seen that in other places around the country from time to time. Doesn't happen all that often. But what do you think we can learn from the grassroots campaign this Tea Party activist ran and the lessons for progressive candidates who may not have as much money as other folks in a particular contest?
Well, we have seen this before many times where progressive candidates win without a financial or at a significant financial disadvantage around the country. I mean, we can talk about Jerry McNerney's race against Richard Pombo back in 2006, and we could go on and on and on through one race after another. The fact is that when it comes to progressives or Democrats, we've always been outraised. And the best way to win really is having meaningful conversations with voters and motivating them to get to the polls. And that does win elections. That's not to say that we shouldn't overturn Citizens United, because we should, and we should get that money out of politics. And that's probably one thing that both Democrats or conservatives and or liberals and Republicans all share. They want to see money out of politics. But you could definitely win races. I mean, there's some great candidates this year that are doing it that way. I want to actually point out to Shenna Bellows running against Susan Collins for U.S. Senate in Maine, running a fantastic campaign. Again, that is going to be a field effort where they engage the voters instead of just throwing television commercials at them that most voters don't really even want to watch or aren't even really paying attention to anyway.
We're speaking tonight here on Counterpoint on WPKN in Bridgeport with Jim Dean, chairperson of the group Democracy for America. We're doing a postmortem of the loss of House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, who lost to a Tea Party activist, David Bratt, in the primary for his Republican district last week. And Jim, one of the interesting things is that although the Tea Party and progressive activists have very little in common in terms of issues, it seems that this Tea Party candidate in the Virginia district who beat Eric Cantor ran on a platform of anti-Wall Street advertising. He basically castigated Eric Cantor for his ties to these big Wall Street firms and all the perks they get from their cozy relationship with Congress. And although there isn't much in common with progressive activists, it seems that the left and right might overlap a little bit when it comes to pointing out the hypocrisy of Congress not looking out for the little guy, for the average citizen, but you know, in these very lucrative deals with Wall Street brokers who you know, get a lot of custom-made policy there in the halls of Congress in Washington.
I would absolutely agree that there is overlap there. I think a lot of Americans in this country, again, I wouldn't just say progressives and Tea Party folks. I would say it is very mainstream right now among Americans that they are really fed up with the strong ties between Congress and big business. And also Americans are fed up with big business itself, which talks free enterprise out of one side of its mouth. And is constantly pining for taxpayer subsidies and tax breaks and offshoring their profits and not really being responsible at all. So I think there's a very, very big strain of this going on. I think it's displayed in the fact that an overwhelming number of Americans across the board support minimum wage increases, support increasing Social Security benefits instead of cutting it back, are not happy about this whole Wall Street engineer plan to start taking away and dumbing down pensions that are due to particularly government employees, many of whom have foregone Social Security benefits to be in those pension plans. And I want to point out another candidate for U.S. Senate, pundits would say is a long shot, Rick Wyland running in South Dakota, very conservative state. He has traction in his campaign because he is absolutely addressing this kind of issue, particularly the issues with big business. His campaign theme is Take It Back, and he is going door to door and town to town, and that is a message that is playing very, very well with the voters in South Dakota. And if it could play well there, I guarantee you it's playing well in a lot of other parts of the country right now, including centers of banking and big industry.
Jim, I wanted to ask you if you think the results of this primary in Virginia that saw the defeat of Eric Cantor, the GOP House Majority Leader, does that send you any messages about what might be possible in terms of the results of the 2014 midterm elections this November?
Well, it certainly sends the message that I've been thinking about and frankly have been a little bit concerned about for some time. This is about voter turnout. This is about voter engagement. And I would say this to anybody, that it is incredibly important that we cast our vote in November 2014. These races, and I'm not just talking about the congressional races, but city council, state legislature, even these local races have just as much to do with our quality of life as those races up the ticket. And it is absolutely critical that we get out there and vote. And frankly, this is a way really for us to finally rid ourselves of this kind of right-wing extremism, particularly the lack of governance among Republicans, and really show who's boss. I think we can send a really important message this year, but we just got to go out and cast our ballots. And I think one thing that Brat did prove is that if you can get your folks out, you can win. And he got his folks out, and you know, I'm hoping that Trammell, who is the Democratic candidate in there, will be successful, because right now, as I said before, this is an open seat, and it may be in a Republican district. But again, that's not that gerrymandered as people think. And if we get our folks out, we could have a Democrat actually representing that district.
Yeah, gerrymandered districts are a big issue in the way the country is governed these days. And I guess I'll have to wait till the next census in 2020 in order to revisit the districts and how they're drawn up around the country. But Jim, I just had a last question for you here, and that centers on there are many progressive activists around the country who are trying to encourage independent U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders to run for president in 2016. And I guess if he decides to run, he'll have to make the decision whether to choose to run as a Democrat in Democratic primaries, presumably against former Secretary of State and U.S. Senator Hillary Clinton, or to run as an independent, much like Ralph Nader did a bunch of times over the last two decades. Maybe you can give us your two cents. What do you think about Bernie Sanders as a presidential candidate?
Well, first of all, I would be delighted if he ran because he is going to push, and as he has done for decades, the issues that are related to economic mobility and certainly economic inequality. And he is the spokesperson for that. He's been terrific for so many years. And we really need to have that debate at the presidential level. And that is actually the reason that I'd like to see him run as a Democrat, because it would carry that message louder and further if he were to do that. And it would also put him four square in the middle of the debates and surfacing these issues and forcing other candidates in the race, no matter who they are, to answer to where they are in minimum wage, answer to where they are on increasing Social Security benefits, answer to doing something to make Medicare better than it is. And it actually is a pretty good system as we have it right now. Those are the things that Bernie is going to push for, and we really need to have that debate in the presidential election. And again, I think my sense is that if he ran for Democrat as a Democrat, his voice, his soapbox, if you will, would be a little bit bigger and better, and that would help everybody in this country.
All right. Well, Jim, we'll definitely revisit that issue in the near future. I'll have you back. But we're out of time right now in the midst of our fun drive here this June. But thanks for making time to come on the program, and leave our listeners with your web address, if you would.
Sure. It's democracyforamerica.com. And Scott, I really appreciate the work that all of you are doing. I'm a big fan of PKNs and really, really glad you're on the air and keep pushing it.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate your time tonight. Thanks. Good night.
Thanks, Scott.
Bye-bye. That's Jim Dean, chair of the group Democracy for America, brother of Howard Dean, and who started the group when he ran for president in 2004. It's 20 minutes after 9 o'clock. I'm here with Jim Motivalli and Mark Mushin, and we're asking for your contributions so that this station and the guests we bring you here each and every Monday night, the incredible diversity of music, culture, camaraderie that you get from real people behind these microphones, all that you listen to WPKN for is here indefinitely. But that only happens with your contributions and your support. We're an independent station that relies on independent contributions from you, our listeners. So please make a phone call to 203-384-9756, 203-384-9756. Jim, I've got Harry Belafonte waiting in the wings here. The Harry Belafonte.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
You're going to talk to him?
Yeah. Well, I've got a speech that he presented that I recorded. I was within 6 feet of him the other day. And he talked about social justice, which, you know, I think most of our listeners are aware, in addition to being a great singer, an actor, and a guy who's well known in, you know, Hollywood and entertainment worlds, he also is a social justice activist. And he told some great stories about the civil rights era and Martin Luther King and things that he was involved in freeing people who were in jail in Greenwood, South Carolina, all sorts of great stories. But we can only bring you that this evening if we get a requisite number of phone calls. And I'm going to ask you, Jim, to name that number of phone calls we need to hear Harry Belafonte.
How about a total of 5.
That's doable.
I would think.
Yeah.
Things are looking up a little bit back in the tally room here. We have taken in $330.
That's good news.
So if we get $90 more, we'll have fulfilled our. I think we should be able to do that. Come on.
Yeah. No. I'm gonna hold off here until we actually cross that threshold or the 5 calls, whatever comes first. I'm going to put the pressure on our listeners right now. People who want to hear Harry Belafonte about his social justice life, as opposed to his Hollywood and singing career. You want to hear about social justice from Harry Belafonte speaking at the Left Forum 2 weekends ago. Please call us at 203-384-9756. Give us a call. Make a pledge of any amount. And if you're just joining us, Jim and Mark can both fill you in on the great number of wonderful below retail price tickets, and I'll emphasize that phrase again, below retail price summer festival tickets for a slew of great summer music festivals from the Clearwater Revival on the Hudson River to the Green River Festival up in Massachusetts, the Festival of Arts and Ideas here in New Haven, the Vibes Festival here in Bridgeport, and the Falcon Ridge Festival on the border of Connecticut, New York. All those are great music venues. If you've ever been to any of them, you know they're just a beautiful time to camp or, you know, just go in for a day in these bucolic settings, even in Seaside Park in Bridgeport, it is bucolic and
well,
a lot of great
stuff. Personal endorsement for the Green River Festival.
I've never been there. I'm
glad
you're saying
you definitely
about
should
it.
Make it up what, to that.
What's,
it's one
what's
of
the setting for that?
It's a beautiful park-like setting in Greenfield, Massachusetts. As part of the festival, there is a hot air balloon rising? I don't know. They go up in hot air balloons, and you can do that if you want and the weather permits.
Really?
It has to be very still to do that.
So they give people rides in the balloons.
They do, yes. And it is a festival that it's held on the campus of Greenfield Community College, and they have quite a lot of open space there, so it works out very well. And you can see these there's hardly a bad seat in the house, and there's three stages at the festival. You know, there's the usual dance tent and the family stage and the main stage. But you can see acts like Josh Ritter and the Royal City Band, Trombone Shorty, Puss in Boots with Nora Jones, who I'd personally love to see, the Dirty Dozen Brass Band, Hooray for the Riff Raff, Dave and Phil Alvin performing together, if you're a fan of those two guys, the Lone Bellow, James Hunter Six, the Iguanas, Poor Old Shine from right here in Connecticut. They're from up Storrs way. The Shinola, we actually had them on the air last week. Freddie Johnson and Sid Straw performing together.
I love Freddie Johnston. I haven't heard and seen him in
yeah,
a long
he's been
time.
Quiet for a while.
Yeah, like his stuff.
Freddie is going to be here. Grantley Phillips, Paul Birch and the WPA Ball Club, the Deadly Gentlemen, and the Dirty Bourbon River Show. That's all up at the Green River Festival, just below the Vermont line in Greenfield, Massachusetts. We can have a one-day ticket for you for $50 and a one-day Sunday ticket for $34.99 and the whole weekend for $70. How about that? 203-384-9756. Help Scott go over the top. He needs $90 to make his goal for tonight. We have all these cool premiums, including tickets to the Gathering of the Vibes at the beginning of August, August 1 to 3rd, the Falcon Ridge Folk Festival that same weekend in Hillsdale, New York. Thank you very much for that. And this week, we have a couple things coming up at the International Festival of Arts and Ideas in New Haven. The Regina Carter Show is tomorrow night. And she is a MacArthur Genius Fellow. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yep. So we have tickets for $50 a pair. And I believe her latest album is very historical. It's got all kinds of historical stuff going on. And she's a brilliant violin player. Regina Carter, that's Tuesday night. And also The Gloaming, which is a wonderful Irish-American band, is performing on Thursday at 8 p.m., and those tickets are $60 a pair.
What does The Gloaming mean? Do you know?
Isn't it like it's the evening? The evening is The Gloaming,
okay.
Isn't it?
Okay. Didn't know.
Thursday, June 19th, that's this coming Thursday, we have two tickets for $60 a pair. And again, you save money on these things.
Yeah, how can
you go see
wrong?
Regina Carter or The Gloaming, you can also save some money. And again, you are eligible to win our wonderful wine drawing thanks to Fat Cat Pie Company in Norwalk and Fountainhead. On Sunday night, we're going to be giving away this package of aromatic, crisp and refreshing summer white wines. Six bottles of wine from all over the world, Italy, Austria, Spain, Greece, and the Basque country. It's $115 worth of wine, and we're giving it away on Sunday night as the third in our Fat Cat Drawing Series.
So if you phone in tonight, make any pledge of any amount. In fact, I don't think you even have to pledge by the law. But if you do, give us a call. We'll enter you into that drawing, and we'll draw a name, and it might be yours. 203-384-9756. And, Jim, I don't want to put any extra added pressure here, but, you know, I need to tell the listeners that the kinds of information that we bring you in the interviews on Monday night in our Counterpoint show could be a thing of the past if we don't have enough caller response tonight. They're thinking of replacing it with a Hollywood gossip news and entertainment program, you know, called I don't know what it's going to be called.
I heard they were going to have you do a show called Scott Harris's American Top 40.
Oh, Casey Kasem.
Casey is no longer able to do that, so we're going to draft you to do that because we figured you're just the ideal guy to do that.
Yeah, it's sad that Casey passed away, and I think one part of his life, you know, just like with Harry Belafonte, that people don't know, he was a social justice activist himself.
He was a social justice activist, also an animal rights activist.
He was a vegan.
I believe.
Now that's
he didn't talk about that stuff on the air, but
no, but that's what he did in his private time and you know publicly too. I mean, he didn't hide the fact, but it wasn't really discussed much in all the biographies and all the applause for his life and career.
It mentioned in his obit that he'd started some kind of Arab-Israeli peace organization.
Yeah, no, that's good. People need that information because a lot of the times that political stuff just gets totally, you know, axed out of any coverage of these people and what they did there in their lives.
You know, it said in his obit, it quoted him as saying he didn't really care about rock and roll.
No?
I mean, what he did really had nothing to do with music. He didn't care what the top 40 was. As he said in the interview, he counted them down.
He didn't choose them. Well, he didn't choose them, but, I mean, he had an interest in music,
Not from what he said.
Not at all?
He's one of those guys like Dick Clark. Okay. He was a careerist.
Oh, okay.
So. And, you know, the music was pretty secondary. If you love music, you wouldn't do a show like that.
Well, that's where I would be. But he made up for it in his activism.
Yeah, he was quite an active guy, and he used his money well, all kinds of stuff.
All right, so the music top 40 thing was a meal ticket, and he applied it well elsewhere. Okay, we'll go with that. 203-384-9756. See, we don't have those kind of conflicts of interest here on WPKN because, as you know, we don't have any kind of profit motive in order to bring you the programs that we present
on
these
airwaves. The music you hear is actually picked by the programmers, not on the basis of popularity, but because we are passionate about it and really want to bring it to you.
And that way we can be cutting edge. We can, defy the boundaries as they are. And that's what makes WPKN's programming today and 30 years ago so unique. Please support the concept of this community radio station with a pledge of whatever amount you can afford. Get some of these summer festival tickets. Get some of the artists' box sets of wonderful music from all over the world. And also, we have a great book from Academy Award-winning director Oliver Stone on the unknown history of the United States, and a great CD set of speeches by Angela Davis, Cornel West, Harry Belafonte, and many others, including Chris Hedges. 203-384-9756. But make that phone ring. We'd like to get Harry Belafonte's speech as much as we can get on the air with the phone calls that are required at this moment. And I think Jim properly set down the gauntlet for 5 phone calls. And we need, how many more? Do we need 4 more or do we need 5 more at this point?
Not sure. I think 5 more would, yes, 5 more pledges to go.
Okay. So we can do that in the next 5 or 10 minutes. We'll get more of Harry Belafonte's speech
on the
air.
One big pledge would do it, actually.
All right. Well, let's strive for the 5 calls because we'd like to hear from more people.
Our goal for each pledge period is to have 10 pledges, and we've had 5. So we're halfway to the goal that way. But the main thing is that we make our money.
All right.
And we're like $90.
And you could think this is all about money. And, of course, unfortunately, we have to pay bills, and that's what this is about, the transmitter rental and the phones and the studio and all the things that make this place run, whether you're listening on the terrestrial airwaves or the internet. We need money to run this place, and that's where you come in. Without the strings attached, your phone call to us, your pledge, allows us to continue this grand radio experiment. Call us at 203-384-9756.
And such a long-running experiment, too.
Don't cut it short.
Here, the station was started in like 1962 or 3, right?
Right.
And here it is, still going, still doing the same uncompromising mission after more than half a century. How rare is that, you know?
It's rare.
Almost none of the stations that, if you go back to, say, 1971, which might have been a hallmark or a high water mark of progressive radio, almost none of them that were doing kind of what we're doing now are still on the air. They're either static and nothing there, or they're religious broadcasters, or they're NPR, but they're not what we do. They're not free form radio, which is PKN is one of the last bastions of that kind of thing.
Please call us at 203-384-9756. And, you know, I compare this often to big box stores cannibalizing a community's retail outlets, like, you know, music stores. We used to have the small record shops that you could go to and peruse.
I used to run
all the albums. Yeah, Jim and his brother used to run one of those small music shops. But we also have the specter of hardware stores going out of business with Lowe's and Home Depot coming in. The local pharmacies are all gone with the big box pharmacies like CVS and Walgreens. If you go down the line of a community and what it looks like and feels like as you go down the street, it's all these large conglomerates that have gobbled up all the small local business. And what we're talking about here with radio is a similar trend where large conglomerates, whether it's public radio or whether it's commercial radio. But you can drive across this country, as I've done, and I know many of you have, and you find the same station with the same program over and over again as you go from state to state crossing boundaries, but you get the same stuff. And it's not to say that
America used to have a lot more regional music,
right,
and
right.
regional variation in what was on the radio, but you know, the whole Clear Channel phenomena sort of killed that.
It's not to say that some of that programming that is syndicated and all over the place on multiple thousands of stations isn't valuable, but you want to preserve the local, the immediate, the unique brand of programming that we have here. And you could participate in preserving this radio station, as Jim said. This brand of radio is becoming rarer and rarer. Gone extinct in many places, unfortunately. It thrives here because of your support. Please make a phone call and pledge what you can. We got wonderful thank you gifts, but call us and find out about what you can get, or just from the bottom of your heart and dedication to WPKN and its unique place on the radio dial, please call us at 203-384-9756. Cast your vote and your contribution in favor of a uniqueness and a standout radio that's not part of the homogenization of everything in our society. 203-384-9756. Please make that call. The phones need to ring, and I can get Harry Belafonte on the air as soon as we get our mark met.
And, now, I would like to hear what Harry's got to say. There's a man who's had a window on history.
Sure has.
He was marching with Martin Luther King in the 60s. At the same time, he was having incredibly big hits. He was one of the most popular recording artists of his time. People don't remember him. Maybe some people don't remember what a big deal he was in the early 60s and sort of the pre-Beatles era. But he had all these Calypso hits. And he was one of those people who was on TV a lot back then, too. He was a very popular entertainer in his day, Harry Belafonte. I have a really, I don't know if you've ever heard this record, but he made a prison record.
I never heard of it.
It's all like prison songs, and parts of it are sort of spoken word, little playlets from inside a prison. It's really the most interesting record he made.
Wow.
And it's powerful. It's a lot of them are about songs about escaping and then being caught by the guards, hounds, and that kind of stuff. And it's like a southern work camp. It's sort of almost like a concept album. Actually, I have to say it is a concept album. It's quite a daring record for its time and quite popular, too.
Now, what's his most famous song? Banana Boat Song,
yeah,
right?
The Banana Boat Song. That one. It's about picking bananas.
1956.
I believe he was of island extraction, though I'm not sure that he was actually, he wasn't raised in the islands. So this is a work song. The guy's working all night and then gets to go home if he reaches his quota.
If we get our phone calls, you'll actually hear Harry Belafonte talk about social justice as opposed to just singing about it from this 1956 hit. Okay?
But let's make that tally man right. Has to tally his bananas.
You didn't know.
And then he can go home. That's the basic.
How did Harry know that we'd have a tally man like you, Jim, on the job this evening?
Come, Mr. Tally Man, tally my bananas, and then I can go home.
All right. We need to hear the phones ring. Please phone us at 203-384-9756.
Daylight come and we want to go home.
Right, we want to go home with our coffers filled so we can pay the bills. 203-384-9756. Those are the...
Come on. We need a little flurry of calls.
You can make
get
it
us into Harry Belafonte.
You know, we'll divulge the missing lyrics from this song, Jim and I, if you'll only call.
It's one of those songs. It's like Louie Louie. You think you're hearing the lyrics, but actually there's the secret dirty lyrics.
You play it backwards and you hear about WPKN striving to meet its goal in 2014.
Now he's singing about the workplace hazards, the tarantula hidden in the bananas.
Which is a code word for Agent Orange.
Thank you for that call.
Thank you.
All right, Scott.
203-384-9756.
You think we have to get one more call?
I want to get Harry Belafonte on, but I definitely know we have to pay our bills here, too. And they're competing interests and competing priorities, but I know we won't be able to play Harry Belafonte or air any other political opinion in the future if we don't pay our bills. And this June fund drive, as you may or may not know, I haven't emphasized it tonight, but we're trying to make up a deficit. We're in the red, and we need to make good on erasing that deficit as much as possible this month. We can do that with your help. So there's a lot at stake in this fund drive. Just beyond fulfilling a quota of bananas, so to speak, we've got to erase our debts. 203-384-9756. Please join that caller who phoned in just now so we can get Harry Belafonte's talk at the Left Forum in New York City just two weekends ago that I was there for and recorded, and said some great stuff. And I hope we get the phone calls to ring so that we can move on with Harry's discussion.
Hey, I have a question, a stumper for you. Speaking of the American Top 40, around the same time as Day-O, there was another song that was a huge hit that was also about workplace conditions.
Chimey Kangaroo Dance Sport?
No, this is a serious song. It was a huge hit.
Oh.
It was about working in a coal mine.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there was working in a coal mine, which was a pretty big hit, but that's not the one I meant. It was actually about social justice issues and unfair bosses, and it was a big hit in America.
All right, I give up.
Tennessee Ernie Ford, 16 tons.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You owe your soul to the company store, remember?
Tennessee Ernie Ford.
It was a song written by Merle Travis. It is quite socially aware, and it was a huge hit. Where did that come from?
Can you
imagine a song like that being a hit now? I don't think so.
Well, coal may be a thing of the past. We're hoping so. 203-384-9756. Give us a call, and we'll switch from Tennessee Ernie Ford, 16 tons, to Harry Belafonte and his discussion of politics and social justice. But right now, let's hear Tennessee.
Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company.
See what
soul.
I meant?
I'm a
was born one morning when the sun didn't shine. I picked up my shovel and I walked to the mine. I loaded 16 tons, the number nine
See,
coal,
the coal is just like the bananas. My
soul, there's a commonality
there. Yeah, there's
there.
A commonality. They're work songs. They're about what it's like to work.
There's a synchronicity here. All we're missing is the phone calls. 203-384.
What did we just say? One more call.
One more call. We'll get to Harry Belafonte, and we'll close off this pledge period this evening, where we need to be, pay the bills, and help erase the debt. 203-384-9756. In honor of the banana pickers of Harry Belafonte's time in 1956 and Tennessee Ernie Ford's coal miner in 16 tons, make that phone call right now to the working man, 203-384-9756. One more call. You can do it. Thanks for that call. Let's hear it right now. It's coming, right, Jim?
It's coming,
you
yeah.
Can feel the
Somebody's
vibrations.
Dialing. They're walking up to the phone right now.
Come on. We want to get this at least part of this speech from Harry Belafonte on the air.
We've
Let's
got
do
one
it.
Phone call in progress. We need to have one more.
One more. Make
one
that
more
phone
call.
Ring, please.
That's all we ask. One more call.
Can we get this done right now? 203-384-9756.
Harry's waiting in the wings. He's been wanting to make this speech for a long time.
203-384-9756. Please help us do it. Help us make that speech a reality on these airwaves.
Listen to that. The man is pouring out his soul there. He owes his soul to the company store.
To the company store.
And you know how it used to work in the company store? You paid in chits. And the prices were really high, and if you didn't go to the company store, they were none too happy with you.
It's
and there wasn't any alternative anyway, so you had to go to the company store.
You know, we think in a nostalgic way about the old songs, but in many ways they have more to do with reality of working people's lives than a lot of the music we get these days.
Did you ever
days.
See that movie Mate Juan?
Yes.
There's a scene in which the new coal miners are being processed, and they're instructed to buy all their equipment at the company store. And this guy gets up and says, "What if we buy the stuff somewhere else?" And there's this pause, and he says, "Take down that guy's name."
Take his name down.
Take his name down. Well, Troublemaker.
A lot of violence in those coal mines over.
Oh yeah, that's what that movie's about. It's about the attempt to unionize the mines. The International Workers of the World, known as the Wobblies.
And a lot of racial divide, too, accompanied that whole union drive. It was
right.
Dangerous
and that,
times.
The movie portrays, I think there's Italians working in the mines.
Right. 203-384-9756.
One more call. 203-384.
We missed our 15 minutes, but you can help us get the 13 minutes of this speech. And please call us right now. I've got it queued up. All I do is have to hit play and I can get it on the air. But come on, there's
one more
person,
call. One more call, we'll go to Harry.
203-384-9756. Don't look at the other person. Don't point over there. We're talking to you. 203-384-9756.
We know you're the holdout. You've been meaning to pledge.
Are. Come on, what do we got to do? What do we got to do? We got to play Banana Boat again, maybe. I don't know. 203-384-9756.
Yeah, torture him.
Please give us a call and make that Harry Belafonte speech miraculously appear on your dial. Do I have to phone in the pledge myself?
That might work. 203-384-9756.
There's one of our listeners out there who can make this all happen right now. And,
we need
and
one,
move us
more,
along
one more listener.
Toward our goal. Come on.
203-384-9756. Come on, one more listener.
203-384-9756. Come on. You know this is a unique radio station that deserves your support. Even a few bucks, whatever you can afford.
Your
but.
Fellow WPKN supporters have pledged $330 so far tonight in five separate pledges. So I think, actually, we haven't counted the one that's in progress right now, so we've actually got six calls. So we need one more call.
All right. What's going to happen here? Can we make this work? Can we cajole someone out there to make that phone call and make the pledge? I want to get Harry Belafonte on the air. Please, let's make this work. It takes just one person and their movement of the digital finger there. 203-384-9756. Make the call. Make the pledge. Get Harry Belafonte on the air. Who are we talking to out there?
He was also a very successful movie actor.
Yes, he was.
In the 70s and 60s.
Was he in mostly musicals? I don't even remember.
No, he was in some dramas. He was in some of those, what they call blaxploitation films.
Oh, no.
He was in a few of those.
203-384-9756. Another minute to go here, and we can get that call and get Harry Belafonte on the air.
At some point, we do have to, with heavy heart,
pull the plug.
Give up.
But we don't want to. All right. One more minute. 203-384-9756.
1 minute. Come on. All you got to do is dial 203-384-9756. Show your support for WPKN. Get us back to what we really do best, which is doing our programming and bringing special guests. And I had on my last show, I did 6 interviews.
6?
I think I rival you.
I do about 4 every Monday night. And even during the
it's
phone
hard
drive,
to do 6.
It is. And, you know, because, you know, you kind of want to know the topic a bit to discuss these issues. And, you know, it takes some work. But we love doing it. We love presenting this information on Monday nights, as Jim does with his interviews, all 6 of them. But call right now at 203-384-9756. Get our friend Harry Belafonte on the air talking about social justice. And we'll move on from there. But we're almost done with this 1 minute here, and I'd love to hear that phone ring. How can we make you run to the phone and make that call within 30 seconds? 203-384-9756.
Remember, you get in line for these lovely wines we have.
Yeah.
Well, the drawing on Sunday night.
Automatically entered
6
in that
bottles
drawing
of wine, pre-chilled. We'll chill
exquisite
them for you.
Summer refreshing wines.
Yeah.
203-384-9756.
My thoughts have been turning to the white wines now that it's gotten warm.
That's what we should do. Anyway, what are we going to do? We're going to trust that you'll call in the next 10 minutes. That's what we're going to do because we're trusting by nature. And you'll call and we'll make this whole thing work. But for whatever reason, you've held out. You want to hear Harry Belafonte? Okay, we'll give you Harry Belafonte. And we know that you will call, but we want to make sure that we get the funds that are necessary to pay our bills. That's why we're sort of putting the pressure on. But you've dealt us a slight blow, but we know you'll make it up with a phone call right now at 203.
A minor blow, though, and we do want to thank all the people that did call.
Yes, thank you.
Because we did hear from 6 people, and that's really not too shabby.
Okay. But we trust that you will call, and here we go with Harry Belafonte right now. 203-384-9756. Make that call while Harry speaks truth to power. Stay tuned.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson, and thanks to the Left Forum and to each and every one of you gathered here. The compelling reason for my being here is because it was yet another opportunity to spend, no matter how brief the time, to spend moments with Angela Davis and to share the platform with her is even more thrilling. We've spoken at forums before, and each time she steps into this space, I am encouraged to maintain my loyalty to the left. Sometimes it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. And there are moments when reality reveals itself and things that are happening should give the universe the sense that it's time to take a pause and evaluate and reevaluate. Most of the time when I go around the country speaking to young people, a great portion of that population resides in the universities of America, but also a large part of that constituency resides in the institutions of incarceration. I make it my business to be there with great constancy and to listen to ideas and thoughts and hopes expressed by young men and women caught in that terrible space, on ways in which we might be able to reverse historic trends. Sometimes that task becomes more daunting than I had ever thought. And I say that not coming from a place of naivete. I've been in the left and been involved with the politics of the left for most of my life, starting in a measurable way with my volunteer to be in the United States Armed Forces during the Second World War, going after the villains raped our planet, going out to fascism and Hitler and Mussolini and Tojo and capitalism. And in that struggle, I met all the inspiration I needed to not only constantly remind me that the path I'd chosen to take was an honorable one, but also a very productive one, to share the experiences of Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois and Paul Robeson and Eleanor Roosevelt and many others. Was my good fortune to have those people fuel my thoughts and my ideas and my commitment to the things that I do. My most recent agenda has been dealing with a problem that I saw on a television screen not too many years ago. As a matter of fact, to measure it precisely, it was at the very time that Katrina happened down in the Gulf. On the day that that horrible event was taking place, there was a breaking news on television. And I saw, quite by accident, this picture of a 5-year-old black child. Her name is Aisha Scott. So Aisha was in her classroom, and the picture showed her being cruelly thrown across the desk in her class, and her arms being thrust up behind her, and she was being handcuffed by 3 white police officers. The image was startling. The horror on young Scott's face was even more bewildering. And I gazed, wondering what in the world could this child possibly have done to create this moment of drama. And I called a friend of mine by the name of Connie Rice. Connie is a black attorney. She's one of the leaders and founders of an organization called the Advancement Project. And I call her often on issues of criminal justice and problems that face the youth, because her work is not only in poverty law, but also in the law dealing with criminal justice. And I asked her, did she know of this event that was taking place in Florida? And she responded by saying, yes, that as a matter of fact, attorneys from Advancement Project were moving in on the case, and they were beginning to examine the details. She pointed out, however, that although it had not yet reached pandemic proportions, it was a crisis and a tragedy that was worth taking note of, because it was on the build. It was on the rise. Many children in America, from the ages of 10 and below, were being roughed up by the criminal justice system. And a lot of the schools were beginning to rely on that system for things that the schools itself had failed to do. When I looked at Aisha Scott's face, I made it my business to not only send staff and myself becoming very much involved, but it forced me to call for the first time in my life a gathering of, we called it the Gathering of the Elders. And at that gathering, we had a broad cross-section of personalities that made up the movement, that made up concerned institutions on criminal justice issues. And at that place, a lot of very famous names showed up, Cornel West, Farrakhan, Marion Wright Edelman. The list was vast, a lot of elected officials and government. And the charge was, had you seen what happened to Ayesha Scott, and where are we going in America when the new indecencies and the new indiscretions were now being heaped upon our children, and they seemed to be defenseless in the face of this tyranny? What were we doing about it? What did we have to say? And one person after the other got up and spoke eloquently and passionately and said things that fortunately for us was all filmed. It's on tape from the opening remarks to the closing events a day later. And upon examining the material and reflecting on all that had been said, it occurred to those of us gathered around this moment that our colleagues, who were all well-intentioned, who were all bright and honorable people, who were passionate and had more than once expressed acts of huge bravery by stepping into the face of tyranny, as many had done, particularly during the civil rights movement or during the more active days of the civil rights movement. I get caught, like others, in thinking of it as something of the past, but in fact it is a constant and it is always something of the present. But those who had been into that fray had more than on one occasion expressed bravery in the things that they did. Some paid for those acts with their lives. They were murdered and oppressed vigorously by the state. And yet, now here they were at this gathering that we called. And I discerned from what our analysis said of those speeches that they were not the right front line. Although they would have a purpose to serve, what was missing was the face and the presence of a large swath of young people. So we held another meeting down in Epps, Alabama, among black farmers who gave us their facility and their space to bring youth from all over America, from north and south, east and west, and hundreds showed up, and we had a thing called The Gathering.
And that's an excerpt of a speech presented by actor, singer, and personality, as well as social justice activist Harry Belafonte at the Left Forum Conference in New York City on May 31st. We're happy you could join us for this program tonight. Thank you for those who called in a pledge of support to listener-sponsored WPKN in Bridgeport. We're happy you did, and if you didn't get a chance to this evening, we hope you will in the next week, and we'll be asking for your contributions again next Monday evening. So we hope all that will seep in, and just to emphasize the point that WPKN this month in June is working hard to make up a deficit that we've racked up here, and with your help we'll erase it, and that's of critical importance so we can pay our bills into the future. 203-384-9756, last chance for this evening. Make that call in the next few minutes, and one of us will answer and take your pledge. But understand, you really are the key link between WPKN and its continuation on these airwaves for hopefully another 50 years, spending actually just observing our last 50th anniversary last year. 203-384-9756. We invite you to stay tuned next here on WPKN in Bridgeport for Writer's Voice coming right up. Thank you again for listening and for your support. And we'll be back here with Counterpoint next Monday evening, 8 to 10 p.m. Thanks again.
Are humans causing the sixth mass extinction?
You know, when people have gone back and tried to look at the end Permian extinction, which is the worst mass extinction of all time, they've calculated, you know, how fast was carbon dioxide being emitted during that extinction event. And it's roughly at the same rate that we are emitting it now, just by driving around and powering our power plants.
That's science reporter Elizabeth Colbert. We talk with her about her book, The Sixth Extinction, An Unnatural History. Many think humans could be on the extinction list, too. But
we see this pattern of death, but we also see a pattern of survival. If you look back at the fossil record, you can see what kinds of animals and other life forms have survived these catastrophic events. And for better or worse, humans actually match the profile of a survivor species.
That's Annalee Newitz. We talk about the prospects for human survival amid the mass extinction we're causing. Her book is Scatter, Adapt, and Remember. That's all coming up on today's Writer's Voice. I'm Francesca Rhiannon. The last time a mass extinction happened on Earth, an asteroid crashed into the Gulf of Mexico and started a chain of events that wiped out the dinosaurs, as well as many other species. This time, we are the asteroid. Scientists estimate we're now losing species at 1,000 to 10,000 times the background rate, with literally dozens going extinct every day. That's according to the Center for Biological Diversity. Between 10 and 50% of all species could be gone by mid-century. My guest, Elizabeth Colbert, has been reporting on this terrifying prospect for The New Yorker magazine. Her book, The Sixth Extinction, came out in February and is among the top-selling science books today. She says the causes are multiple, but they all stem from human activity. Global warming plays a major role, of course, but it's also ocean acidification, the mass cutting of forests and other ecosystems' degradation, and the global transfer of invasive species. In The Sixth Extinction, Colbert covers the history and science of mass extinctions and takes us along on her adventures in the field to find out what's happening to frogs, fish, corals, bats, and birds. And she speculates about what could happen to us. Elizabeth Colbert is a staff writer for The New Yorker. She's authored two previous books, one of which is Field Notes from a Catastrophe. Elizabeth Colbert, welcome to Writer's Voice.
Thanks for having me.
There have been five extinctions, major mass extinctions. You say that while, you know, life may be pretty much the same, I mean, of course, it has a variety, each extinction is very different in its causes. What are some of the different causes of the five extinctions that we've had?
Well, the most famous and probably the best understood is the fifth, which occurred at the end of the Cretaceous period. That's about 66 million years ago. It's the event that took out the dinosaurs and a lot of other, you know, groups that we're somewhat familiar with, the pterosaurs, for example, the ammonites. And it's pretty clear, there's a pretty significant scientific consensus that that was caused by an asteroid impact. An asteroid about the size of Manhattan slamming into the Earth. We know where the crater is. In fact, it's under the Yucatan Peninsula.